Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Greg, that was really cool. And that was not lost on me that he just played Jesus Loves Me, This I Know with all of our kids. That was super fun. Thank you for doing that. This morning, we're going to continue with our thought from last week. And last week, we talked about these moments of transition that we have. Real quick, I just want to pause and say, it is pretty cool to have some troopers in the house. We got Officer Dollar standing in the doorway there. He's the bouncer. Dale acting like he is. But let's not be confused. We got Brent Resett in the house. In just a moment, in this back door, here comes John Starkey is about to peek through. And then also one that we've had here is Mike Davis. And Mike Davis just had a surgery recently, and they removed a tumor from Mike. And so we're just praying for Mike's speedy recovery, for his healing. He's been on the prayer chain. Thank you for all those that have been praying for him. And Mike, if you're watching, we love you. And we're thinking about you, and we're cheering for you. Anyway, we're well represented here. So we're bringing out this door here because we're going to talk about thresholds and these places of transaction and transition, and where we walk through different doors and different seasons of life. Anybody seen the movie Forrest Gump? Maybe you've seen this movie. And Forrest Gump seemingly does everything all the time, right? He plays Division I football, he meets the president, he fights the war, he marries the girl, he does the whole thing, right? He's got a lot of chocolate as well, seemingly. But have you noticed that in every single scene, thanks Joe. Joe, if anybody can carry a bag of seed like a man, it is you. Great job. That's just how you country boy rig a door. You put a bag of seed on it so it doesn't fall over. I appreciate that, Joe and John. Every time Forrest Gump is about to transition to a new season of life, the very first scene, he's in a blue plaid shirt. Perhaps you've known this, perhaps you haven't, but he's in this blue plaid shirt. We've got a picture of this every time that Forrest transitions into a new season. From the very first time that he is a boy until he goes to different seasons of life. There's other pictures here. Until he raises his son, even his son is about to get on the bus. He's going to transition. He's in a blue plaid shirt. Perhaps this morning we need to get the blue plaid shirt on because there are lots of people that I think are in transition right now. Perhaps you're getting ready to graduate high school. You're going into college. Maybe you're about to move from singlehood into being married. Maybe you're going from you're getting ready to start and launch a brand new career. Maybe you're ending your career and now you're entering retirement. Maybe you're coming into grandparent stage. There's something that you're exiting from and entering into, and I believe that God has a lot of thoughts on that, and he has a lot of wisdom because he's the great author and the great storyteller. And so let's lean in a little bit this morning and say, God, could I just have some discernment? What's the next transition that you have for me? I want to put on that blue plaid shirt and I want to get ready for the next thing. What is it that you've got for me? Jonathan Edwards says it this way: we are formed by our greatest desires. And what is at the root in the heart of man many times forms and forges his destiny. So audit your spirit and your heart right now. And you're like, man, I've always wanted to, but I just never have. Man, there's this thing, this longing that's like pulling me into this next season of life, but I just kind of keep pushing it off. Or there's this thing that I really wanted to do, but somebody just smacked me when I was young and just said I would never be able to. And I just got dinged right there. Maybe there's this great idea, there's this business that you want to launch, but there's a book that you want to write. And for whatever reason, you're just kind of stuck. And it seemingly is the door is closed on that season of life. Mary Tucker, I see you over there. Yeah, she can't hear me. But we can see each other. I just want to let you know that you weren't hidden behind this door. So we see these times in Scripture, and I want to for us to kind of think through this. There was many times when people were sojourners. They were passing through from one country to another. And as they were passing through, they were gatekeepers in these different towns and countries and villages. And usually the gatekeepers would come out, they would greet you, and then there was some sort of literally a rite of passage. We call that, you know, whenever you're a kid and you're coming into adolescence or whatever, these rites of passages. But there was kind of this pay to enter, if you will, but not so much as you were charged a fee, as much as you were gracious to be entering into somebody else's country. Check this out. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, it says, "You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you." Interesting. The person who's a stranger, you should treat them as the native. "And you shall love him as yourself. So you, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." We see different times in passages of Scripture. Maybe it's even Abraham. As Abraham is moving his family to this place that God was going to lead them, and the other kings and leaders came out, and Abraham's like freaking out, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, like I was promised this land, and I don't know what to do, and they're going to take all of our women." And he actually offers up his wife as a gift. Y'all remember that? Sarah, he offers up Sarah as a gift. Like, this was the thing that you were going to do. He did it out of fear, and he says, "Hey, be my sister instead of my wife, and then that way that they won't kill either one of us." But there was this thing that they were supposed to do when you pass through from one land into another. Is there anything that maybe God would have us to do if we're going to exit one season and go into another? I just don't know that it's as easy as just waltzing into it. Perhaps there's a little bit of groundwork that we have to think through, maybe put in a little bit of mental sweat, and not just have mental brain candy. Just kind of, it's just kind of fun to think about, but to start moving from ideas to action. And to become somebody who's taking action on these things that God has really put inside of our hearts. You know, this idea of a threshold or where a door, a threshold simply is that bottom wood frame that keeps the door closed, right? Or stops it from going all the way through. It's a threshold. So Officer Dollar standing in a threshold right now. The threshold was a place of transition. It was a place of transaction. It was a place of transfer. It was a place of power, really. Anybody got carried over the threshold whenever he put a ring on it? Anybody? I got carried one time across the finish line at the Indy Mini. I'll show you this picture. Whenever I couldn't go any longer, I needed Alyssa to carry me across the finish line. I'm like, "Alyssa, I'm tired. The car, seriously, it's only about a half mile away. Can you just carry me? You'll be my Uber just to get me there." Maybe you were carried across a threshold. I remember when we first got our very first apartment. When we got our first apartment, we opened the door and we had got kind of everything in place and things like that. And now's the moment. It's like, okay, now we're going to live here. And I picked her up. And as I'm getting ready to walk through the threshold, smack her legs right up against that door frame. Like, okay, and we're in, right? And we kind of roughed our way through that thing, but we made it and we were in. And sometimes it's okay. It might be a rough breaking through to that next thing of life. And you're like, "Man, I didn't say it right. I didn't do it right. I started this business. It just flopped. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing." And you know what? The goal is, let's just continue to take those baby steps. As we talked about last week, when we take those baby steps like a kid, and we're just waddling and wobbly, and we're coming, and the parent is like, "Yeah, come on, woo!" And I just believe that this is Jesus. He's pumped. He's fired up for us. He's not smacking our hands because we didn't take the step right. Right? He's just encouraging us to come to this next step in life. Back in the day, actually in medieval times, like Eastern Europe, before vampires became like really cool and good looking and like, you know, these twisted characters and, you know, they were all in these like novels and stuff, they actually were like demons before they were like had abs. And so they were these demonic forces. And so anybody know the name? I know that probably Dennis is going to appreciate this name, and maybe you can even help me pronounce it. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Did I say that right? Okay, it's a brand new one. Okay, so Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, he wrote Faust, was the name of the book, and there's this character. Gerda. Okay. I was close. I knew if I got in the ballpark, you know, Dennis would be able to kind of get me into my parking spot. And so here we are. He writes this book. Faust is what he writes. And there's this vampire demon that's in it. And I've got the name here. I'm going to try it. Mephusta Felice. Is that the name? Mephistopheles. All right. I thought I was speaking in tongues for a moment. I just didn't want M and O to kick me out or anything. Mephistopheles, is that correct? Eh, it's close. He's this demonic vampire that he comes up to the threshold, to the doorway, and he won't come in unless invited in. There used to be this power of the threshold to where only gatekeepers were allowed to grant access in and out of places. And I just wonder if there's something still in our minds today where we're afraid of the threshold. I'm afraid of taking this next leap. I'm afraid of going into this next season. I'm a little bit nervous of whatever's going to be on the other side of this door. I don't know what's going to happen. Here's all of these, this goal is like this mountainous goal. And instead of just taking one step, we're trying to eat the whole elephant at a time. And I just want to break this thing down for us because I believe there's so many dreams and visions inside of people's hearts that we're just not actualizing, that we're just not coming into because maybe there's fear that has gripped us. And I just want to encourage you, if there's fear that's keeping you from the best life, I would encourage you to appeal to a higher fear, and it's the fear of the Lord. There's a sovereign, holy reverence, fear of God that I'm going to not actualize the life that he would have me step into. And if you want to live a life of fear, live it into the glory of God. God, I fear missing what you have called and created me to be. And so I'm going to, even scared, I'm going to step out with courage, and I'm going to do everything that you've put inside of my heart to do. Expect, and maybe for some of you, you're thinking, well, man, I've already done it, and I'm 80, and it's over. I'm not talking about a career. I'm not talking about that you need to go, you know, figure out what you're going to do with your life. I'm talking about how do you finish well, even in that season of life. And God's not done. He's just not. When he's done, he'll put a period on it, and we'll put you in a casket. We'll say some great words. It'll be great. We'll even share a dinner. But he's not done with you yet. And so continue to hang with me here on this idea of passing through the lands. In 1 Kings chapter 10, starting in verse 1, we see that the queen of Sheba is interested in the wisdom and knowledge that King Solomon has. It says that King Solomon was the wisest man to ever step foot on the planet, second only to Jesus. And she heard about, here's the scripture, she heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord. She came, you got that scripture up there for him? She came to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions, arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones. She came to Solomon, talked to him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all of her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. And so she passes through this land. She comes before the gatekeeper of wisdom, if you will. And here's what she does. She gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantity of spices, and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. You may be asking, how does this come into comparison with my vision for my life? I want to say that as you're making different transitions, there's the importance of people and having the right people in your life and the right wisdom and insight. And there's also the way that we approach these right people. And I want us to approach them with a hunger, with an honor, with a giving, with a sitting before them, posturing a spirit, because there are people that are able to help pass through different thresholds in life. So maybe there's a thing in your heart, and you're like, man, I really want to write this book. And you're like, but writing a book is a mountainous project. Then I want to encourage you, can you just write a paragraph? Maybe just write a sentence. Write a word. And then tomorrow, after you write one word, double it and write two words. And the next day, double it and write 4, and then 8, and then 16, and then 32, and then 64, and 128, and 256, and 100, and I don't know. And slowly start scaling this thing, and you don't have to do the whole thing. And then maybe sit with somebody. Hey, you've written a book. How do you do this thing? And just start asking questions. As Queen Sheba, the Queen of Sheba, came before King Solomon. Start asking questions, or maybe start with a small group. And so I've got this idea that I want to start doing fun phone conversations with my grandkids once a month. And so, hey, neighbor across the street, can I just practice on you? Hey, Junior. It's Grandma. Just want to say that I love you. How was your game? Oh, really? You only care about the snack? Awesome. Whatever. And just start slowly ramping up whatever that thing is, okay? Maybe you want to build houses, okay? Build a birdhouse first, okay? Scale it to a treehouse. You're more than welcome to do it in my backyard. My kids would love you. Build a treehouse. Well, how can I slowly ramp up this thing and have great people around me that can help in these areas? I'm serious. Don't Lone Ranger this thing. Get the right people around that can help along the way. And then there's this thing about honoring the person who's helping you. She brought in truckloads of gold and spices that delivered to Solomon. There was something about it. In this book, Hinge Moments, this is Dr. Michael Lindsay. He's the new president at Taylor University. In this book, he tells if you go back to the original word of what we would call in English, guest and host, they are derived from the same word. Guest and host is ghost. Okay, so the ghost is the kind of like these complexities between being a guest in a new territory and also being the host in the new territory. So as Leviticus says, when a stranger comes in, treat them as a native. Take them in as your own. Open the door wide. Open that refrigerator. And then you give gifts to those people that are walking into your life. There was also the expectation that if you were a guest, that you come with a gift. The Queen of Sheba comes with a gift. Somebody that you invite over to dinner, maybe they bring you a gift as well. You're opening up your home and you give them a gift. The Holy Ghost is the host and also the guest. He is no doubt always here. And yet sometimes we feel like we invite him here, right? Like, Holy Spirit, come. You're more than welcome here. And he's like, that's cute, guys. I'm already here. So he's the guest and the host. He's the ghost. And he does both of them at the same time. And so in the same way that you're thinking, what's the next area that I'm about to walk through? I also want you to be able to look back and say, who else can I bring along with me? Are there some young bucks that really would like to learn this thing? Or maybe as you look across our church, there's 30 kids sitting up here. To where you start thinking, man, I just want to think of this next generation. Is there anything that maybe I could also teach and to give away? I know I'm maybe thinking us think of what else that God would have for us, but it's not only what he has for us to get, but also what he has for us to give. In other cultures, if you show up and you don't bring a gift, whenever someone is hosting you, it could have mega effects for generations to come. To be like, okay, this family's marked. We do not like the Meyer family for their kids and their children's children. And they're marked for generations. And the great gift exchange. And today, it literally can be gifts. It can be serving one another. But I'll tell you, many times, it's the service exchange one to another that the Bible would actually say it this way. Gifts make room for you. Or there's another scripture that says, gifts will open doors before kings. Fascinating. So I just want us to thank God, who are some of those people that can help? What is it that I need to bring to the table whenever I'm coming? How can I practically start getting after everything that you have called me to do? Anybody have one of those mamas that whenever you are about to leave your house and go into somebody else's house, maybe she gave some simple instruction like this. Be on your best behavior. Say thank you often. And don't do anything to embarrass the family. Those were like, that was like this like simple etiquette as you're transitioning to a different house. Don't embarrass the family. Let's see how this ended up for the Queen of Sheba. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 12. Then King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for. He gave her more than she had brought to him. Then she left and returned to, what does that say? Reunite? Return to her own country. I'm just struggling this morning, huh, with my words. There is something about the way that we enter and exit that just matters. It just does. And I want us to think through, how am I entering my next season? How am I exiting my past season? And many times, how you are exiting one land is how you enter the next. And if you're exiting frustrated and bitter and hurt and dinged, and then you're just joining that new job, and it's like, oh man, they're hurt and bitter and dinged, and they're talking about everybody else, and oh, I don't know if I want this employee. You're exiting one church, entering another, and you're like, let me tell you about how terrible my last church was. I'm like, ooh, shoot. Oh boy, we got a consumer, we got a critic. Those are scary. And I want to say, exit one season with beauty and with grace and with gratitude, and enter the next season with beauty and grace and gratitude and a hunger and honoring that past and entering into this beautiful and glorious future. Just recently, this last week, I went up to pick up a couple four-wheelers. I used Bill Holder's trailer. I picked up a couple four-wheelers that I was getting restored. They'd been flipped and buried underwater and had mud in them and all sorts of stuff. And so got these new four-wheelers up and going. And so I drive up to Burn, Bill, and as I'm driving, the trailer is light, and there's no weight on it. And you know what a trailer that doesn't have any weight does? It's just bouncing around. I'm driving all the way up there. And then I get them, and I put these four-wheelers weigh between 600 and 700 pounds a piece. Put two of them on there, and guess that ride home. It was smooth, baby. It was smooth. Here's the deal. Because trucks and trailers work best when they carry the proper load. And maybe there's something going on in your life. You're just like, man, I'm just not carrying that proper load. I need to step up in my marriage. I need to take some responsibility. I've put it on the other spouse. I've put it on the kids. I've put it on whatever. And God's saying, come on, step into this next place. We need you to walk through this door of responsibility. Maybe you're a kid and you're living in your parents' house. And God's saying, come on, don't just be a consumer. We need you to step up to this next season of life. We need you to start shouldering the task. Maybe you're in your retired season of life and you're like, man, this is just like, you know, just like a bummer season and, you know, whatever. Or maybe you're like, I'm loving it. I don't do anything. I don't know, whatever. But I'll tell you, there's a proper load to be carried. Also, I know this. I have a V6. Bill has like this tanker truck, right? Bill can carry anything that he wants to and doesn't feel it. It's like he just ran through a mosquito. I eventually can feel the weight of the load. And so it has to be the proper load. Maybe there's a season where you got to get some stuff off of you. Man, this is just way too intense, and I got to transition out of some things. I got to exit a land. I got to take some things off of the trailer. Maybe it's one of those things right here. But here's what I want us to do, and here's the practical step. There's always a front side and a back side to things, right? Look on both sides of that dollar. Look on both sides of that quarter, right? There's a front side. There's a back side. In Greek mythology, there's this character called Janus. And Janus is a two-faced Greek god. And the two-faced Greek god, one is looking forward and one is looking backward. Janus, J-A-N-U-S, is where we get our month January. And January is this month of we're looking forward to the future, we're looking forward. But also, what I always enjoy about January 1st is also this look back. I look back at this past year. I like to journal. I'm like, man, this is what 2020 looked like. Here's what 2021 is going to look like, right? It's this two-faced reality of being able to look forward and look back. And so as you're looking, maybe you're looking at, what are the passions that God has put inside of me? And as I look forward to that, is there any track record? So I also want to look back. What does he put in me? Who are the people that he has around me? And as I look forward, who are the people that I need to get around me? And start having a vision of moving forward. It's the both. It's the reality of straddling the threshold. As I'm in two places at once as I begin to move forward. And as we begin to do this, let's just create a little checklist. Little checklist. What's the first things that we need to do? You know, whenever the airplane guys, like pilots, when pilots are getting ready to launch an airplane or fly it, they're going to fly an airplane. What they're going to do, I'm just trying to get through the end of the day, all right? And it's the first day of the week. When pilots have a checklist, you know what the very first thing is that they check off? Clean the windshield. Is that funny? Clean the windshield. Because if there are bugs on there, whenever they're flying and they look for a long ways away, it could look like another massive aircraft coming at them, and they're starting, you know, you're freaking out because it's a fly. And I want to tell you, maybe just kind of clean your vision real quick. Just kind of just wash over. Like, man, what I've always seen in a father is, what I've always seen in a boss is, what I've always seen life to be is, and can we just wash the windshield and say, let's not freak out. That's just a fly. That's not an airliner. People aren't, you know, coming at you. Let's rewash the vision. Let's see it for what it is. And then let's just start taking some practical steps. This looks like a congregation that probably watched the movie Fight Club. Not sure, but I'm just guessing that you guys have all seen it. So whenever I reference this movie, you're probably going to understand. But there's four rules to Fight Club. The first rule is you never talk about Fight Club. The second rule is you never talk about Fight Club. The third rule is, anybody want to guess? No. When somebody calls uncle, then the game is over. The fight is over. And number four is this. You only fight one guy per night. It just simplifies it. And can I just say, you don't have to fight the whole army at once. What's the next step? What's the one step? What's the next thing that God has in front of you? Okay, and you're more than welcome to talk about it. Okay, you can talk about the fight that you're in, and we're not gonna give up because Joe said no, because Kevin said no. God's saying yes, and we need to power through on what God is calling us to. I'll wrap with this. This weekend, actually, just yesterday, I was at Navy Pier in Chicago. I was with my son Judah. We took him up to a camp in Chicago, dropped him off, and while we were up there, we went to Navy Pier. Navy Pier has been built. It was Chicago Fire. I don't know what was that, 100 and so many years ago. But Navy Pier is 105 years old now, and it was created by this guy. Daniel Burnham created this, and he had this whole plan for the city of Chicago. And so his original goal was he wanted to have six of these piers coming off, and he built this particular pier. I want to show you this video clip. Here's what Navy Pier is.
You know you'd love this. Look at this. Look at this ride. Look at this ride. We're out here on Lake Michigan on the pier, Navy Pier, and we're about to tear up this Ferris wheel. And we're going to check out the city behind us. Look at this. These buildings are so high, they're hidden in the clouds.
Woo! Okay, so we're on Navy Pier. We do the Ferris wheel. We're looking over the city, the skyline, the whole deal. It was super cool. And here's the thing. Maybe the plan is we want to have six piers. Or you want to have six books. Or you want to have six stores. Or you want to have whatever the deal is. And I would encourage you, if you just got after one, it really could be glorious. Get after that one thing. What's the next thing that God would have you? Just start knocking on some doors. See if there's a pathway of entry. See if we can just properly approach that next season of life. See what it does. Just explore it. Peek your head in the room. Start kind of checking out what is that God would have for us. Maybe as I'm sharing this, some of this is like scary. And you're like, you know what? I know inside of me how I'm exiting one season. I need to enter with a ton of like grace and forgiveness. And for me, my next step is I need to have that hard conversation with somebody and I need to ask forgiveness. I need to have a hard conversation and I need to give forgiveness. I am so locked up. I've been camping out here for 5-6 years. I've been camping out here for 30 years. And I know a great next step would be. And you're just wanting to see some daylight, right? And you know what? Sometimes it's not just keep heading west, chasing the sunset. Sometimes we need to head east and go deep into that darkness. before we can see the sun rise on the other side. I would encourage you, maybe you need to go into some dark places and fight through it and say, Jesus, wrestle. You know what? This next area that I'm about to transition into is like this wilderness. It's this desert place. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Maybe you've got some, the sunlight for you is physically getting super healthy. And so it's like this desert season of heading into like the dungeon of diet. Ugh, it's heavy and hard. Maybe doing some exercises. But you know, if you continue to head east into the darkness, eventually you're going to see the sunrise. I don't know what those next seasons are. But I'll tell you, you're not just going to arrive on the mountaintop. There's going to be a ton of terrain to climb up. And it might seem hard. And it might seem disastrous. But I want to encourage you to embark on something worth your life. You're going to give your life to it. To make it worth the while. No fear. Moving from idea to action. A couple practical things that I want to do with people. I want to share an idea with somebody that's a safe place. I want to execute that idea in a small test tube with some safe people around. And maybe it's writing that first word. It's writing that next sentence. It's writing that next paragraph. I don't know. It's applying for the job. It's making the phone call to that person. It's doing some side work on the side, rehabbing one bathroom. And then all of a sudden, you're kind of scaling that into, I don't know, whatever those little things are. But I want to start sharing those. Start fleshing them out, get some people around me, and see what this next season that God would have for us. And so here's my ache and my prayer, is I don't want to see the graveyard populated with unrealized dreams and songs in your heart, and you want to write music. Come on, let's just start writing it and singing it and going for it and whatever those things are. So let's rob the graveyard. Let's deploy excellence here in our life. And let's get after those things. Let's be everything that Christ Jesus has laid a hold of us to become in this life. Amen? And so some practical ways is reach out to me. Get a hold of Pastor Andrew. How can we pray for you? I think we have a lot of resources here in the church. What are some people that we can talk to that we can help get our dreams into reality? Would you all stand with me this morning as we close? Let's pray. Jesus, I just pray right now, God, that you would supernaturally just wipe our windshield. Just clean off the vision, clean off the bugs where we don't see correctly or see properly. Jesus, I pray that we would set the nose of the airplane, that we would hop on, that we would take off, that we would start making some moves. Lord, we pray that these areas of these doorways and these thresholds, that we would start moving from one place to another, from one season of life to another, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. I pray that our church would continue just to be creative and that we would progress in everything that you've called us to be, Lord. We just pray this blessing upon the house today. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.